somewhat dear to my heart, is that it is very important, and I think there's a little bit of a misconception in this generation, that learning is not just for men. Women have to learn also. And women should be learning. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say that if women could be a CEO of a company, then how could it be that we're not educating our women at the highest level of Torah? So when they are challenged in the workforce, that they should be ready to be able to answer those tough questions. And I can't think of a better example of someone than Mrs. Michal Horowitz, who's a hell of a speaker, and has been, as you saw on the flyer, has been all over. And without further ado, since you didn't come to hear me, I want to introduce Mrs. Michal Horowitz. I want to wish her Gemar Chasima Tova, your family, and really thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I don't think I'm going to use that.
No, okay.
Okay, I don't think I'm going to use that. Are we okay without the microphone? Yeah. Okay, thank you very much, everybody. Thank you, Rabbi Weiss, and for the invitation and for the introduction. I want to also say that my father-in-law is joining us this evening, so we have a men's section in the back. Okay, so welcome to my father-in-law as well. And Birshusa, it's a pleasure having you here. I need to speak louder? Okay. I prefer not to use the microphone if I don't have to. You know what I want to do? Can you help me? Can you hold this for a minute? Just be careful. It's on Zoom and the recorder.
Thank you.
Okay, this is what I want to do. Okay, was that a beep? Could everyone just check their phones that you're on mute or on vibrate or on silent, please, so it won't ring during Shia? Okay? So is this better?
Yes.
I move
yes.
to the middle?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, good. Okay, so thank you, everybody, for inviting me to your community, to Rabbi Weiss for the introduction, to my father-in-law for joining us, who's Goldie, who helped me with all the arrangements. Yeah, and thank you so much for all your hard work and putting this together. Okay, so I want to talk about, I don't remember the official title of tonight's shiur, Yom HaKippurim, the Divine Gift of Atonement, I believe. So, you know, I prepared a whole shiur at home, literally. It takes me a long time to prepare my shiur, and I prepared a whole shiur on that topic. And then I realized something over Shabbos, and I prepared a new shiur for you today. So I'm not sure what I'm going to do with that one. It's brand new, and I haven't presented it. So I want to talk about the concept of teshuvah and the journey from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. And whenever I switch my topic, yesh al mi lismoch, because we have had the zchus to be at the YU Shavuos Ritz Yarchei Kala program the last 4 years that they had it. They didn't have it 21 or 2020 because of COVID, but the four consecutive years before that, 2016 through 2019, my family and I were zocha to be there. And I remember one night Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schachter spoke, and he handed out his source packets, because Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schachter, if you've ever had the privilege of attending any of his shiurim, relies heavily on a very extensive source packet. And the topic was totally different than what was listed in the booklet, in the pamphlet. So he said, 3 months ago, they asked me for my topic, and I didn't know what I was speaking about 3 months ago, so I gave them a topic. And as I came to prepare the shiur, it changed. So that's what's put in the pamphlet, and this is what I'm actually speaking about tonight. So if Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schachter can do that, then Michal Horowitz, certainly, Yesh Al-Muzah Smoke can do that as well. And I want to share, this is a brand new shiur, and I think that it's just something incredible that tells us much about the journey of teshuvah. So the mitzvahs hayom and the inyanei diyoma, could everyone hear me at this volume? Abba, could you hear? The mitzvos hayom and the inyanei diyoma of this time period is teshuvah. Yes, Rav Meir Twersky Shlita of Yeshiva University Ritz, one of the Rosh Yeshiva, points out in one of his essays in the Sefer Days of Awe, Days of Joy, he points out that so many of us think of teshuvah from these 40 days, from Aleph Elul through Yom HaKippurim, but how many of us actually think about teshuvah from Yom HaKippurim through the following Aleph Elul? Perhaps not many of us, but the reality is this is Minyanei Diyoma, and this is the time period of the year when we should be involved in the process of teshuvah. in bettering ourselves and coming closer to the Ribono Shel Olam. So what do we learn from the root word teshuvah itself? Very strongly in my learning and in my teaching, I try and focus on the root word, the shoresh in Lashon HaKodesh, because it tells you so much about the word itself. So the first thing I want to point out, the root word of teshuvah is lashuv. Acharei hashiur hazeh, ani shava be'ezrat Hashem habayta. I'm going to go home. Ani yashuv habayta. So the first meaning of teshuvah is to return. And so we understand that when one repents, you return unto God. Shuva Yisrael, Ad Hashem Elokecha, Ki Kashalta Ba'avanecha. Through repentance, you are returning to God. The other meaning of this word teshuvah, shin bet, is what you are all doing and what I am not doing. Atem Yoshvim Va'ani Omedat. You are all sitting. So how do we understand that as part of the journey of teshuvah? Because when you have when you undergo the process of repentance, ultimately you will be worthy, you will be zochah to have a seat in the house of God. What does King David say, chapter 27 of Tehillim, which we are reciting every day, twice a day? Acha sha'alti me'eis Hashem, osa avake shifti b'vein Hashem, kol yimei chayai, lachazot b'noam Hashem u'levaker b'heichalo. King David says, I ask for one thing of you, God. I want to sit in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and to bask in the pleasantness of Hashem. Shifti b'veis Hashem. So when one undergoes the process of repentance, teshuvah, ultimately the Ribono Shel Olam welcomes you back into his home and he says, have a seat at my table. You are beloved, you are worthy. I'm so happy to have you here. So studying the Shoresh and Lashon HaKodesh is extremely important in learning and then in teaching because it tells you much about the word. So teshuvah is to return unto God through repentance, lashuv el Hashem. Teshuvah from the word shin bet means that when you repent, you will be worthy to have a seat at the house of the Lord, like King David expresses his longing in the Kapitel of Tehillim that we recite during these 40 days. And finally, something I learned last week that never dawned on me before, teshuvah is answer. Yesh li teshuvah l'sheila zot. I have an answer to your question. So answer, so I read it in Mishpacha, actually, the Rosh Hashanah Mishpacha, because teshuva is the answer. If you're broken in life, if you are distant from God, if you feel separated, if you feel sullied by sin and you want to know how to come back to Hashem, teshuva is the answer. So just studying the root of teshuva, the root is shin bet, and it tells you so much about the teshuva process itself. One, to return unto God. Two, to have a seat in the house of the Lord. And three, finally, teshuvah is the answer to life's problems. If you're distant from Hashem, if you're sullied by sin, if you are captive to the Yetzer Hara of Salvechik, the Rav Zatzal says that a sinner is in essence in captivity. And then teshuvah, through the answer of repentance, you come back to Hashem. So this is an idea that tells you, first of all, what the process of teshuvah is. Furthermore, there are concrete stages of teshuvah, and I'm just going to mention them and not go through them in great detail, Bli Neder, but there are stages in the process of repentance. Teshuvah does not mean you say, I'm never going to do it again, and then you're finished. That's not teshuvah. It is a halachic process delineated by the Rambam, by Maimonides, towards the beginning of Hilchos Teshuvah in his magnum opus on halacha, Mishnah Torah. So the first thing a person needs is charata. You need to regret that you did the sin. If you don't regret that you did the sin, you will never repent. For example, everything spiritual has a physical parallel, or everything physical has a spiritual parallel. If you don't regret that you ate 6 donuts at the Purim, at the Hanukkah Masiba, or 10 Hamantashen at the Purim Masiba, if you don't regret that you did it, you're never going to have impetus to change. The first stage of repentance is charata. You regret what you did. But regret alone is not enough. After you regret what you did, you must azivat hachet. You must leave the sin. You all know, or perhaps you don't know, that you could regret eating 3 pieces of apple crisp at the meal. But the next time you sit down to the meal, you love the taste of apple crisp so much, you're going to eat 3 pieces again. So you could feel bad about yourself, and you could say, why did I do it? And you could say, my dress doesn't fit me properly this morning, and I should have only had 1 portion and not 3 portions. So you might regret it. But just because you regret something does not mean you are going to leave the sin. You could have charata without azivat hachet. You could be very embarrassed in the moment that you spoke Lashon Hara about whoever, X, Y, and Z, and for a day or a week even you might feel ashamed. That's charata. But if you don't resolve to leave the sin, charata is not enough. So you must regret, charata, azivat hachi, you must resolve to leave the sin. And then kabbalah al ha'atid, or kabbalah al ha'asid, you must say in the future, I will never do this again. The Rambam's example of a true repentant, Maimonides' example, is a man who is enclosed with a woman, who is forbidden to him, and he sins with her. And then after some time, he is with her again. And the Rambam says he does not sin again. Not because, says the Rambam, he doesn't desire anymore. He does desire her. Not because he's old and infirm and he can't commit the deed. He's not old. He's not infirm. He can commit the deed. Rather, he does not sin with her because he understands it's the wrong thing to do. And this is a true chozer b'teshuvah, says the Rambam. Someone who's in the same situation again, who has regretted the past sin, who has resolved to leave the sin, azivat hachet, and finally takes upon himself kabbalah al ha'atid. He's not going to do it again in the future. The final stage of repentance, according to the Rambam, is vidui. Vidui is oral confession. We are about to usher in Yom HaKippurim, the divine gift of atonement, and throughout the liturgy of the Day of Atonement, we will be confessing our sins. In fact, we begin Mincha, Erev Yom Kippur, because like the Rambam writes, maybe somebody will choke, chalila, on their food during the final su'udah before the fast, and then they will not have had a chance. They will not have had a chance to confess their sins. So the first vidui actually appears in the Amidah of Mincha for Erev Yom Kippurim, and we all know the text of the vidui from the Ashamnu, Bagadnu, Gazalnu, we are guilty, we have committed trespass or treason, we have stolen, Dibarnu Dofi, we have spoken Lashon Hara, the Achet Shechata, we have a whole litany of sins, so a list of sins, and this is what we confess throughout the Day of Atonement. This vidui is the final stage of Teshuvah, which Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal says is the climax of repentance. Why? It's very hard to accuse yourself. It's much easier to accuse somebody else. They should be more religious. They should be more tzanua. They should be more honest in business. They should be more careful with ahavas chinam. They should be more careful to be respectful of their parents and their teachers. They should be more careful when it comes to chilul Hashem. I just gave an example of some of the things that we confess. Me, I don't know. I'm just standing here doing this because it happens to me in the text of the Machzor. But it doesn't really apply to me. I'm honest in business. I'm respectful of everybody. I never spoke Lashon Hara this year. I love every Jew, so it doesn't apply to me. So it takes great courage to confess your sin. Not, says the Rav, to be melamed zchus upon yourself while you are confessing. That, says the Rav, is not a confession. It's worthless. To give yourself the benefit of the doubt while you're going like this, says Rav, is not confession. It's worthless. If a person, says the Rav, is melamed zchus upon himself while he recites the vidui, so you say, oh, Ribono Shel Mimela, I know I sinned, but I had Da'agas HaParnasa, says the Rav. I had a Yetzer Hara, I had Nisyona. So what are you doing? You're exonerating yourself while you're confessing your sin. So the Rav says, this is not confession, this is worthless. You could be Melamed Zchus upon the person next to you. For yourself, stand before the Ribono Shel Mimela as you are. Without trickery, without a mask, without excuses. The most dangerous word in the vidui is aval. Aval anachnu chatanu. We sinned, but I had a strong yetzer hara. My kid was so annoying during the tantrum, so how could I remain patient? My neighbor's really not nice, so of course I spoke Lashon Hara about her. Aval anachnu chatanu. That word aval is the most dangerous word. This is not my thought. It's something that Rabbanim speak about in their shiurim, because it means that it's not a true confession. Don't stand there before God and give a list of excuses. These are the stages of teshuva. So you must regret the sin, charata. You must leave the sin. You know, a smoker could regret that they're smoking. They could read the label on the package. They could Google it. They could see what happens to a person's lungs. They could say they know that they're at great risk. They might regret. But azivat hachet, you need to leave the sin. Enough with the apple crisp, enough with the 20 hamatash, and enough with the smoke. It's bad for you. Sin is bad for you. You could regret it, but not leave it. After Azivat Hachi, Kabbalah al Hatid, you must accept for the future that you will never do it again. And then Vidui is what we do on Yom HaKippurim, which is the oral confession to confess our sins. So those are the four stages as delineated by the Rambam, Maimonides. However, there is another stage, says the Rambam, and that's for Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. That's all good. That's the recipe for sins Bein Adam L'Makom. So you were Mechal Shabbos on purpose, or you ate Chametz on paper, or you didn't do the Arba Minim, or you didn't listen to Shofar, you sin between you and God. If a person undergoes this process of teshuva, genuine process of teshuva, so Kadosh Baruch Hu bekvodo ba'atzmo erases the past. It's as if you didn't sin. It's an unbelievable pela, it's an unbelievable nes, it's an unbelievable matana from the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's as if you didn't do it. Not only that, but your averos becomes chuyot. Now the sin turns into merit. You're such a tzaddik that b'makom shabali teshuva omdim ein tzaddikim gemurim omdim. You are standing in a place higher than the purely righteous when you become a repentant. But that's only for bein adam l'makom this way. When it comes to bein adam l'chaveiro, so then there's another process, and that is Ein Yom HaKippurim Mechaper. What is the very last Mishnah? Maseches Yuma tell us. Maseches Yuma Mishnayis Perachas Mishnah Tes. Ein Yom Averu Shabein Adam L'Makom. Yom HaKippurim Mechaper. Averu Shabein Adam L'Chaveru. Ein Yom HaKippurim Mechaper Ad Sheyiratzes Chaveru. When it comes to sin between man and God, you go through the process of repentance. So Yom HaKippurim will bring you atonement. But when it comes to sin between man and fellow man, Ein Yom HaKippurim Mechaper Ad Sheyiratzes Chaveru. Until you make amends with your friend, so there is no atonement on Yom Kippur, and it is extremely important to ask Mechila of the person that you have harmed. The Rambam goes so far as to write that if the person you insulted or harmed or damaged has passed away, is Niftaras, before you were able to ask the Mechila. So the Rambam writes, you have to go to the grave with a minion of men. You have to publicly say what you did wrong in front of the minion to the Niftar, and you have to ask Mechila. And I don't know if anybody saw Mishpacha this past Shabbos, but there were a number of accounts of people's personal journey of either granting forgiveness or accepting forgiveness. And it was the first time I ever saw this written. This woman writes, she perceived that they hurt this homeless man in some way, and then he was nifted. Did anyone here see it? No, a whole room of people no one saw. Oy. Okay, so, and she mamish took her and her husband, they consulted with a rav, and they took a minion, and they went to this homeless man's grave, and they publicly apologized and said what they did, and they asked that person's mechila. Okay. So we began by looking at the root word of teshuvah and what we learn from the two-letter root of shin bet. Number one, it means to return. So through repentance, we return unto God. Number two, it means to have a seat. So through teshuvah, we sit at the table of the Lord, Perach of Zion of Tehillim. Number three, it means answer, because teshuvah is the answer to when you are broken in life. Then we move to delineate the stages of teshuva as per the Rambam, including the final stage for Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, which is asking Mechila of your friend. I want to point out something very important, which is that there is really a previous stage before Charata, before Azivat Hachi, before Kabbalah Al Ha'atid, and before Vidi, and before Mechila. And that is what I call self-awareness. You can't do any of the stages of Teshuvah if you are not aware of what you did that is wrong. Sometimes a person goes through life oblivious to their behavior, to their words, to the effect that they have on somebody else. And if you are not willing to have the self-awareness to accept responsibility for what I did, if I think I did nothing wrong, then I cannot begin the process of teshuvah. And now I come to something I think that's very interesting that I want to share with you. What is the significance of Rosh Hashanah? Okay, these Aseres Yemei Teshuva begin on Aleph Tishrei and they conclude on Yud Tishrei. So they begin on what we call Rosh Hashanah, also known as Yom Adin, Yom Hazikaron, Yom Teruah, and Rosh Hashanah. And they conclude on Yud Tishrei. What is the significance of Rosh Hashanah, besides the fact that it's Yom Adin, Judgment Day, Yom Hazikaron, Day of Remembrance, Yom Teruah, Day of the Shofar Blast? What actually occurred on Rosh Hashanah 5,782 years ago? What? Who's talking? Please raise your hand. What? Okay. Adam and Isha, to be correct, were created. God created the world in 6 days, and Adam and Isha, I deliberately do not call her Eve or Chava, because she is not named till the end of Perek Gimel, after the sin. So if you learn with me, you know that I call her Isha, to be biblically correct. Adam and Isha were formed on what we call Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of the creation of men, first man and first woman. So shouldn't we observe Rosh Hashanah 6 days earlier when God said, Vayomer lakim bihi or vayihi or vayar lakim es or kito vayavda ben or venachoshach vayir vayi bogar yom echad? So why do we celebrate on Rosh Hashanah? Furthermore, during Musaf, we say, this is the beginning of the day of your work, a remembrance of the first day. Is it really the first day? It's the first day of mankind, but is it the first day of the world? Actually, not. So this is from Chabad.org. The answer is, it just says it very nicely, the answer is the creation of man enables the true purpose of creation to be fulfilled. Without man, the world cannot be brought to its state of full being. It might be a beautiful world, but if there's no Adam to daven for rain, then nothing will grow. If there's no Adam to work the land, then nothing will grow. If there's no Adam to rule, to rule over nature, nature cannot be brought to its maximum potential and fruition. God created a world, but it is the task of man to reveal the Ribono Shel Olam in this world. Only man, quote, listen carefully, who is endowed with intelligence and freedom of choice, you are endowed with intelligence, atachonin la'adam da'as, I don't know if you daven Nesach Ashkenaz, I assume Nesach Ashkenaz here, I daven Nesach Sfar, umlamid la'anosh bina, I don't know your exact Nesach, but we daven for chachma bina and da'as, or I think you daven for chachma de'a and haskel, yeah? We adavim for intelligence. Man is endowed with intelligence that animals do not have. And furthermore, we are endowed with freedom of choice. This differentiates man from beast. V'charta b'chayim l'man tichya atav v'zarecha, says Moshe at the end of Perek Lamed. We just read it last week. In Parshas Nitzavim, you could choose. And therefore, only man can accomplish revealing the Almighty in this world through man's intelligence and his Bechira Chafshis. Rosh Hashanah is the day when we remember that Adam was created, and it's as if it's the first day of creation, because without man in the world, there is no purpose to the world. Because of the significance of Adam's creation on this day, we commemorate and celebrate it. Hayam haras olam, hayas from hirayon. Today the world was born. We celebrate it as the first day. So what happened on the first day that Adam was created, which was what we call Rosh Hashanah? The Gemara tells us in Masechah Sanhedrin, during the division of the first day, the day on which Adam was created, which we call Rosh Hashanah, consisted of 12 hours. During the first hour, his dust was gathered. Vayitzor Hashem Elokim et Adam, Bereishis 2:7, Afar min ha'adamah. God gathered the dust. The second hour, it was made into a shapeless mass. Vayitzer, God formed, in the second hour, this dust into a shapeless mass. The third hour, his limbs were stretched out. The fourth hour, Vayipach ba'apav nishmat chayim, a soul was breathed into man. The fifth hour, he stood on his feet. Vayihi ha'adam l'nefesh chaya. The sixth hour, he named the animals. The seventh hour, he was paired with Isha, Zod HaPam, Etzame, Atzamai, Ubasar Mibsari, Lizoi Kare Isha. The eighth hour, they had two children. The ninth hour, he was commanded. Mikol Eitz Hagan Ochel Tochel. Umipri Eitz Ha'Eitz Asher B'toch Hagan Lo Tochu Imeni V'lo Tigum V'o. No, Lo Tochu Imenu Kibiyam Ha'Chach Ha'Mimena Mostumas. She added, don't touch it. But that wasn't the real command. He was commanded, you could eat from all the fruits of the garden, but don't eat from that one tree in the middle of the garden. The day you eat from it, you will surely die. The 10th hour, he sinned. Vatikach mipirya votochal, vatitin gam liyisha imo vayochal. That's in the 10th hour. The 11th hour, he was judged. The 12th hour, he was banished from the Garden of Eden and went on his way. Not such a successful beginning to mankind. So I want to look at the anatomy of Adam's sin with you. And Mamish, I'm telling you, I changed my whole shir. That other shir is on my computer and printed on my desk at home. But I just think this is incredible. So let's look what happens. I also really appreciate this shir. I'll tell you why. I really feel bad for Nitzavim, Vayeich, Hazinu, and Vizos HaBracha. You know why I feel bad for them? Because no one pays any attention to them. You know why? Because it's Yontif. So you're thinking about everything but the Parsha. And as someone who spends the whole year teaching Parsha in depth, Baruch Hashem, I never feel bad for these Parshios. You don't even notice Moshe died. Before you turn around, you're back up erasures. What happened? Yes, there's a Parsha on Simchas Torah. The Kiddush and the Aliyos, and you can't wait to get out of here, and the candy, and the men tie their talisim, and the dancing. There's a Parsha. Even Yitzavim Vayedach, you're so busy getting ready for Rosh Hashanah and back to school, and then Hazinu, forget it, because I mean, it's between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Who could think about that? I'm building the Sukkah and decorating and making menus. There's a Parsha. So we're going to spend some time talking about Bereishis. So when you get to Simchas Torah, and they finish Vizos HaBracha and immediately begin with Bereishis, remember that there's a Parsha. And the serpent was more cunning than all the beasts that Hashem Elokim made. So, says Nachash to Isha, I hear you can't eat from all the trees of the garden. So the woman says to the Nachash, that's not true. We could eat from the trees of the garden. Keep in mind, Vayitzav Hashem Elokim et Adam Vayomer, Mikol Eitzagan Ochel Tochel. You could eat from the trees of the garden. It's true. However, Mepri Ha'Eitz Asher B'Toch Hagam, but there is one tree in the middle of the garden. So God Taka said, you know, don't eat from it. Don't touch it. That's when it's off limits. So the Nachash says, you won't die. Elohim knows that on the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open. You will be like Elohim. You will know the difference between good and bad. Says Rashi, every craftsman hates competition. The Nachash spoke Lashon Hara, Kaviyachal, about God. God doesn't want competition. Don't eat from the tree. Okay. Vatevi ha'isha ki tov ha'eitz l'machal. She sees that the tree is good for eating. V'chi taiva hu le'inayim. Taiva is a very strong word in Chumash, which denotes almost a sexual attraction. Kivos ha'taiva. And she sees that the tree is desirable to the eyes. V'nechmad ha'eitz l'haskil. It's very pleasant and attractive to contemplate, to think about. V'tikach mipir v'tochal. She eats, she gives to her husband. Everybody eats. They're not supposed to eat. What hour was it? The 10th hour. They were created, he was created, the soul was blown into him in the fourth hour. Fifth hour, he stood on his feet. Sixth hour, he named the animals. Seventh hour, he's paired with Isha. Eighth hour, they have children. Ninth hour, he's commanded, mitzuvah. Tenth, he sins. 11th hour, he's judged, all Rosh Hashanah. The first Yom Hadin was actually 5,782 years ago, except that Adam was not written in the Sefer HaChayim, L'mancha Elokim Chayim. Adam was written in the Sefer HaMaves. You're going to die. And Taka, he was banished from the Garden of Eden, and he brought mortality to the world. So their eyes are open. They realize they're naked. They didn't know before they were naked. So Rashi says they were naked for mitzvos. Doesn't mean they were physically unclothed. They were spiritually naked. They had one mitzvah. Mitzvah doesn't mean good deed. Going back to Shorashim, you tell a kid do a mitzvah. It's not correct. You could say do a chesed. Mitzvah is a command. So they realize that they are divested of the only mitzvah that they had. Everyone's on Zoom, okay? No one's screen is even open, so I hope so. I know the stands are shaky a little, but I hope you're okay over there. There's two messages on the chat. Oh, they said they can hear. That was from 807. Okay. I assume everybody could hear. You could hear. Yeah, okay. Thank you so much. Okay, they could hear fine. Good. Okay. So what do? They sow fig leaves. Why ale te'ena? So there's many, many interpretations in the Medrash as to what actually they sinned with. One is the Esrog, by the way. And the Pasuk says, Vayikra 23:40, Lakachtam lachem b'yam arishon, Pashas Emor, pre-Eitz Hadar. Pre-Eitz Hadar is actually an allusion to Esrog, but some say wheat, whatever. It wasn't an apple. That's Christian. Okay. And they make belts. They cover themselves. To cover up their shame, they make clothing for themselves. Vayishmu et kol Hashem Elokim mitaleich begad l'ruach hayam. Something very strange. God is taking a walk in the garden. What do Adam and Isha do? They what? Hide. Vayitchabe ha'adam v'ishto mipnei Hashem Elokim. Adam and Isha hide from God amongst the trees of the garden. Where they sin, that's where they're hiding. I don't know, there weren't any buildings. There weren't bomb shelters, so you couldn't exactly take refuge anywhere else. You're in the pristine Garden of Eden, so they hide from God. So Hashem Elohim calls to Adam, and he says, so where are you? Where are you? Yodea haya heichan, who says Rashi. Erali kanes imo bedvarim. Of course God knew where he was. He's giving them an opening to have a conversation. So, as kocho shamati bagan, so Adam aval. I heard your voice in the garden, and I'm afraid because I'm naked and I'm hiding. Mihi gidcha ki erum ata. Who told you you're naked? Hamina eitz, asher sivisichel vilti achal mimeno achalta. Did you perchance eat from the tree and the fruit I told you not to eat from? Vayomer Adam, and this primordial man who's the father of all of us, says, not actually, Ha'isha, asher nosata imadi, hi nosnali min eitz v'ochal. Wasn't really my fault. It was her fault. And it wasn't really her fault. It was your fault. If you wouldn't have created her, lo toheos adam levado, acer lo acer connecto, I wouldn't be in trouble in the first place. You put me into a deep sleep. I didn't even know what was going on. You stole one of my rib bones. I wake up and there's a woman. I go out to work. I come home and say, what's for supper? She says, have some fruit, and now I'm going to die. Ha'isha asher nasata imadi. Ha'isha nasata. It's her fault and it's your fault. Says Rashi very famously, Kan kafui v'tova. He totally rejected the good that God did. God gave him a woman because it's lo tov to be alone. Adam, very strange medrash, has relations with all the animals, and he says, I don't know, everyone has a pair and I don't have a pair. Lo Adam lo matzo ezer kenegdo. I'm all alone. So God said, you know what? You're right. The dog has a mate, and the lion has a mate, and the turtle dove has a mate, and the eel has a mate, and you don't. So I'll make you a woman. And now you're blaming me? So God goes to woman. So he goes to woman, he says, oh, you cooked supper, it's your fault, what did you do? So the woman says, you know what? You know what happened? V'ochal, the snake convinced me and I ate it because of the snake. So everybody's cursed. Everyone's cursed. The Nachash loses his legs, his power of speech. He'll eat dust the whole rest of his life. Adam and Isha become mortal. They're kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Two kruvim with flaming swords are stationed by the entrance of Eden so they can't re-enter and take from the Eitz HaChaim and live forever. So, Mamish on Shabbos, I realized something so amazing. I think. And this is what I want to share with you. This was all on Rosh Hashanah. I don't think we talk about Adam enough on Rosh Hashanah. So Adam also had a Yom HaDin, and it wasn't so favorable. Sefer HaChaim, Sefer HaMavos, Psuchim Lefanav. And we know which one he gets into, because man dies. No one, someone once said to me, is a long-term lease on life. So let's talk about what happened on Rosh Hashanah. God commanded man. Man, remember we said with our Bechira Chafshis, we reveal the presence of the Lord in this world. Man chose not to listen to the command of God. Yeah, God commanded man. Man chose to transgress or not listen to the word of Hashem. Man hid in the aftermath of sin, and man denies any wrongdoing. And on Rosh Hashanah, death was brought to the world. And ever since that day, 5,782 years ago, the Ribbono Shel Olam has two books open before him. Mi bekitzo, mi lo bekitzo. Mi b'mayim, mi b'cherv, mi b'rash, mi b'magefa. Mi yichya, mi yamus. God commands. Man ignores the command of God. Man hides in the aftermath of sin. Man is banished from Eden and brings death to the world. That's Rosh Hashanah. And every Rosh Hashanah, we stand and we crown Hashem as Melech, Melech Malchim, Lachim, and in recognizing the dominion of the Ribbono Shel Olam, Meloch Al Kol HaOlam Kula B'Kvodecha, we crown him king and seek to rectify and undo the sin of Adam and Isha. Was it my fault? Aval Asheimim Anachnu. Aval Anachnu Chatanu. It was your fault. You gave me Nisyonos. If you wouldn't have given Nisyonos, God, so I wouldn't have sinned. If you wouldn't have given me this woman, this neighbor, this child, this rabbi, then I wouldn't have sinned. I'm so excited. I'm not joking. I'm going to take some water. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam shehakol nehi abedvaro.
Amen.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited. This year is going to go on YU Torah. Be'ezrat Hashem, tell all your friends to listen. What? What did he say?
The
shul
name.
The shul name. The shul name? Yeah, of course, I'm going to say where I was given. Yeah. I am speaking in Brooklyn, Flatbush, Brooklyn, at the Marine Park Jewish Center. And it is my pleasure to be here. Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so I'm really excited. Okay. Are you excited?
Woo!
You're waiting to know what you should be excited about. We begin our Asaras Yimei Teshuva on the day when God commanded, when man ignored the command of God, when man hides in the aftermath of sin, when man denies wrongdoing, accountability, or responsibility, and brings death to the world. Now I want to tell you another story. And this is the last portion, excuse me, from Tanakh that is read during the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. So on Rosh Hashanah, we read Perachof Aleph, a Bereishis. Sarah had a child, she was remembered, Hagar sent away, Basher Husham, Yishmal, Vayita Esha Baber Sheva, Kriya Sator for day one. We read from Sefer Shmuel, Chana is Akara, Penin is having one child after another, Kimi Hashem Shi Altiv, Atit Pala Chana Vatomer. On day two, we read Perachof Beis of Sefer Shemos, Bereishis. It was just a typo. The Akeda and Nochar's 12 children. And then we read Rachel is crying for her children. Sefer Yirmiyahu. And then in the middle of the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, we have a Shabbos and there is a Parsha. We just read Vayelech. And then on Yom Kippurim, we read about the Avoda of the Kohen Gadol, Parshas Achrimos. And during Mincha, we read Perek Yudches, forbidden sexual relationships. And then we come to the final reading of Tanakh during the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. It's a very short book. It's four chapters long. And there are many reasons why this is read on Yom Kippurim. And the word of God was to Yonah ben Amittai saying, get up. Leich al Ninveh, ha'ir ha'gadola, get up and go to this big city of Ninveh. Ki also haralofani, the bad of Ninveh has come up before me. Vayakam Yonah livroach Tarshisha milifnei Hashem. Yonah gets up to run to Tarshish. He is fleeing before God, and he goes down to Yafo, and it was apparently a port city many thousands of years ago as well. And he finds a ship that is sailing to Tarshish, and he pays his fare, and he gets on the boat. Milifnei Hashem, he is running away from God. And Hashem sent a huge storm. There was a very big storm. And the boat is sinking, maybe it's going to break apart. And the Medrash says that only this boat had a storm. All other boats were sailing in clear seas in the Mediterranean, calm water, blue sky, sunny day. Only over this boat, says the Medrash, was a storm. Vayiru ha-malachim. Just, I mentioned it's important to focus on Shorashim. They are called malachim, mem, lamed, ches, from the Shorash salt, because sailors sail on the salty sea and catch fish. Vayizaku ish el Elohav. So all the sailors start davening to their Avodah Zarah. They start throwing the vessels overboard to lighten the weight of the ship. V'yona yarad al yarkisei hasfina v'yishka v'yer Adam. It's the same word used by Adam. V'yipa Hashem Elokim tardema al ha'adam v'yishan. Yona goes to the belly of the ship. The psukim have stressed he is running milifnei Hashem. He goes down to hide. Isn't this interesting? You have a command of God. You have a person who chooses to ignore the command of God. And you have a person who, in the aftermath of his sin, it is a sin for a navi to be kovesh's nevuah. He hides. Doesn't that sound like another story we just went through? The story of Rosh Hashanah. God commands, man with his bechira ignores. In the aftermath of sin, man hides. That's exactly what Yonah does. Not only that, he goes down to the belly of the ship and he sleeps. Vayikrav elav rav hachovel. So the captain of the ship goes down to Yonah, where Jonah's sleeping in his cabin, and he says famous words, Malachan Yerdom, why are you sleeping? Kum kra el Elokecha. We're all praying to our Avodah Zarah. Get up and pray to your God. Maybe Yisashes lanu Elokim v'lo nevod. Maybe God will turn to us and we won't be lost. And one man says to their friend, we don't know what's going on, we have to choose a lot. We have to see why this happened, whose fault this is. So they choose a lottery, and it falls upon Yonah. Hagidon alanu, ba'asher lemiha rahazos lanu. And they say to him, could you please tell us why this is happening? What is your work? From where are you? What land are you from? What nation are you? And he says, I am a Hebrew. It was made into a very famous song, so I'm sure you all know the pasuk off by heart. By, who was it?
Benny Friedman.
Ivri anochi v'asashem elokei ha'shamayim en ha'yareh. Asher asah hayam esa yabasha. Interesting, he seems to refer back to Maaseh Bereishis. I am a Hebrew, and I fear the God who made the sea and the dry land. The sailors are very afraid. What did you do? Ki yadua anashim ki milifnei Hashem hu boreach. The psukim stress repeatedly, he's running away from God. You know who else ran away from God? Who else ran away from God? Who else? Hello? Adam and Isha. Vayivchuchu eineim vayedu ki eiru mimim vayichabeya Adam v'yishto. Mipnei Hashem Elokim, b'toch Eitz Hagan. God commands, man chooses not to listen, man hides in the aftermath of sin. And Adam brings death to the world, and his Yom HaDin is not so positive. But how do we finish the liturgy, the Kriya from Tanakh of this Aseres Yemei Teshuvah? As the day is going, as the sun is beginning to set, it's before Ne'ilah. It's the final hours of these 40 days of repentance. We're all waiting for Salachti Kidvaracha, like God said to Moshe on our Sinai. What changes the Gezerah from Adam's death sentence to Yonah's life sentence? Why does God forgive Yonah? He's running away. It's Asher, a Navi who is Kovesh, his Navu is Chayav Misa. That's the halacha. He should be dying. He should be thrown into the water and eaten by the whale and goodbye, Yonah. Find a new prophet to go to Nineveh. You are Kovesh, your Navu. It's Asher. So why did he get into the Sefer HaChayim, the Mancha Elokim Chayim? You know, it wasn't my fault. I came home, I didn't investigate, she made supper, I knew I wasn't supposed to eat the fruit, but I ate it, so I'm blaming her and I'm blaming you. She says, it wasn't my fault, the Nachash spoke Lashon Hara, I couldn't help it, I ate it. Vayomer Aleihem, and Yonah says, Sa'uni v'hatiluni al hayom, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Vayishtok hamayim al hayam me'aleichem. The minute you throw me in, the sea will calm down from upon you. Ki yodeya ani, ki bishali, hasar hagadol hazeh aleichem. It's my fault. Do you understand what I'm telling you? This is a parallel story. God commands. Man chooses to transgress. Man hides. What makes the difference between Adam and death and Yonah and life? Yonah was also Chayav Misa. Ki Yodea Ani. I know it's my fault. I was wrong. Not aval ashemi manachnu, not aval anachnu chatanu, not I'm being malamit chos while I'm clapping an alchem, Ribbono Shalom, it was me. It's so breathtakingly, incredibly beautiful. See, they're parallel stories. There's a message, there's a lesson, there's a secret to life. We're human beings, we're fallible. We make mistakes. We're not angels. God did not create us to be angels. What makes the difference between death and life? It's not if you sin or if you don't sin. Only four people in the history of mankind didn't sin, says the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah. We don't even know who they are. If you take a poll, most don't even know who they are. Binyamin, Amram, Yishai, Avi, David, and Kalev, the son of David. Everyone else sinned. Even the God Aldar goes like this. God does not expect us to be angels. But when we're wrong, we have to have the courage, the humility, the self-awareness to say, it was me. God said to Jonah, it was you. You have just put yourself into the book of life. In fact, there are many midrashim as to what it means by Yishmu'u Eskol Hashem Elokim Mitaleich Began Ruach Hayam. Why was God walking in the garden? So the Rav has one beautiful pshat, which is an entirely different shir in and of itself. Rav Shimshon Pinkas Atzal says, Hashem, quoting a medrash, Hashem was coming to the Garden of Eden. He was coming close to Adam and Isha so they could do teshuvah. That's what Rav Pinkas says, the medrash says. You know why God was walking in the garden 5,782 years ago on Rosh Hashanah? I'm coming close to you. Dear Shu Hashem bi matzo karu bios karov. So you could do teshuvah. But Adam said it wasn't me, it was her. And maybe it was even you. And Isha said it wasn't me either. In the 1950s, in the beginning, when the state was first established, there was rampant poverty, there were terror attacks. The world would like us to believe the terror attacks only began after we captured the Shtachim. Now, that is a big, big myth. In 1929, there wasn't even a state and they massacred Jews in Hebron. There were terror attacks. There was rampant poverty. It was a precarious situation in the newfound Medinat Yisrael. And a group of Haredim came to the Brisker Rav. Rav Yitzchak Zav HaLevi Salvechik, the Griz Zatzal, the son of Rav Chaim Brisker. And they said, we know why there are so many problems in the state of Israel. It's because of the Chilonim. It's because of the pioneers. It's because of Shomer HaTzair. It's because of those who are Mechal El Shabbos. So the Brisker Rav said, let me tell you something. When the Rav HaChovel comes to Yonah and he says, why is this happening? Yonah should have said, Yonah could have said, because of you. I'm the only God-fearing guy in the ship. You're all of Avodah Zarah. You're bowing down to the God of the sun and the God of the moon and the God of the river. You're worshiping idols. I'm the only Yerush Shemayim on the boat. If you throw your Avodah Zarah overboard, the storm will stop. Said the Brisker Rav, we don't look at them and say it's because of them. We look at ourselves and we say, it's because of me. It's a parallel story. The story of Rosh Hashanah and the final reading from Tanakh of Yom Kippurim. God commands, man transgresses, man hides, and then the two paths diverge. And we dafka read Yonah on Yom Kippurim to remind us, O lo avda tikvatenu, yesh schar lepulateich, that the key to life lies not in being a perfect human being, because there is no such thing. It's in being able to say, it's because of me. I was wrong. I will repent. And from there, inscribe us in the Sefer Chaim, Man Chelokim Chaim. I want to end by pointing out one amazing nakuda, further amazing. Names in Tanakh are extremely significant. And I realized something this year that I never realized before. Yonah's name is Yonah ben Amitai. So the second name is easy. Amitai is from the word emes. He's a man of truth. Yonah. When do we meet the Yonah? What?
No,
Oh, the first time you meet something in Chumash is also very significant. So now we're going to Parsha 2. And first, Noach, we have a whole zemer about this Yonah. Yonah matzavo menoch, v'sham yanuchi, ge'er koach. First he sends the orev, he doesn't find any dry land. And then he waits and he sends the Yonah, which is translated as a dove or a turtle dove, who comes back with an olive branch. And Noach understands that the world is about to be rebuilt. The Yonah of Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Noach, represents a world that has been destroyed, but will now be rebuilt. That's what Teshuva is. That's what Sefer Yonah is. That's who Yonah is. It's a story because sin destroys us. You are an essence as of a captive. Sin sullies your personality, your being. You're not the person you're supposed to be. Is there any hope for us then? For redemption, for rebuilding, from recreation, from destruction? Yes. Because Yonah, the man of Sefer Yonah, reminds us of Yonah from Bereishis, who represents the ability of a destroyed being to recreate, re-flourish, to have life once again. Said the Brisker Rav, it's very easy to look at the Chilonim and say because of them. But Yonah ben Amittai was able to say because of me. And it's the final Kriya of Nach Tanach during these 40 days. Because there's a lasting, powerful message. Everyone sins. It's hard to imagine how, but the God Odor also goes like this. God commands. Man transgresses. Man hides. And then there's a fork in the road. Adam's path leads to death, and Yonah's path leads to redemption, repentance, and life. And that's one of the last messages of Yom Kippurim. Hashem knew, but God knew, I did it. I admit, I'm sorry. Next year I will be a new person with the help of the Ribbono Shel Olam Be'ezrat Hashem. So I thank you very much for allowing me this chus of sharing this with you. I thank the shul, Goldie, for all the arrangements. I thank Rabbi Weiss and the Robertson for having me. I thank my father-in-law for coming. And I thank everybody for honoring me with your presence. I wish you all a Gemar v'chasima tova. Thank you. And I thank everyone on Zoom as well. Gemar v'chasima tova. Thank you so much, everybody. Yeah. Thank you. 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 Thank you